How to be a master of mind control. All right, here we go.
Mixing business with politics. This is the Nathan Frazier Show.
What is up, Free Market Squad? It's your boy Nathan Frazier, High Priest of Propaganda, and I'm back up in this bitch, and we're going to do a quick video today on the media and mind control and the whole narrative of get woke, go broke, and why some media outlets don't seem to get that. Or maybe they get it, but they just don't care. And I think that that's probably more of what's going on. So we're going to talk about why that might be the case. And to start off the episode, we're going to talk about a new video game that's going to be coming out, I think, next year. It's a video game that I'm super excited. I don't really like first-person shooter video games, but this one looks really fun. And I've been waiting for this game for a while. It's called Cyberpunk. I think Cyberpunk 2077 or something like that. Recently, there was a huge announcement that Keanu Reeves was going to be playing a character in the game. And so that generated some excitement. But at the same time, this game keeps coming under attack by SJWs and SJW media for a bunch of different things. One thing, they said that it was transphobic because in the video game, apparently, I haven't played the video game yet. I'm just going off of the reports that have been released. Apparently, different alterations to your body cost you some sort of experience points or maybe vitality points or something like that. So if you alter your body by implanting augmented parts into your body, if you put a machine gun into your arm, you get penalized for it. If you do any kind of augmentation to your body, you get penalized for it. Well, apparently the game lets you be a trans character, and just like any other augmentations to your body, you get penalized for it. Well, that apparently is transphobic, and so they've come under attack for that. They've also come under attack for being quote-unquote racist. They said that black characters are portrayed in a negative stereotype in the world of cyberpunk, ignoring the fact that the creator of the world of cyberpunk is actually a black guy. They're apparently calling him a racist now because of the way he portrays some of the black gang members within the game. If white or Hispanic gang members act negatively, that's totally fine. But if black people do, it's a result of racism, apparently. And there's also the question of, in the past, there were the company that's making the game has also produced some other controversial quote unquote games in the past. They released a game, I believe they're the people that put out the game Witcher, which apparently takes place in like ancient or old school Poland. And because of that, because it takes place in Poland way back in the day, there are no black people. There's only white people in the game, which is historically accurate. They wanted to have the game be as historically accurate as possible. And they came under fire for not having enough diversity in the game. There's also been tweets, or at least one tweet from somebody who worked at the game company, that SJWs didn't like the way the guy tweeted, so they went after them. Anyways, this game company has come under attack before, especially by SJWs and SJW media, and it is now as well. As they're leading up to the release of the new Cyberpunk game, they're under attack again. One of the biggest examples of this is an article that just came out from Rock Paper Shotgun, which is a gaming blog type, gaming digital magazine type website. And they too were attacking the game for being racist and for having a white character on the cover and all kinds of stupid race baiting bullshit, just like normal. And something that's come to light in this particular instance is the fact that Rock Paper Shotgun is either co-owned or under an umbrella company or has some sort of business ties with Steam. And Steam is a company that releases video games, and you buy them on Steam, you play them through Steam, and Cyberpunk 2077 is actually releasing outside of Steam. They're going to release on their own platform, or they're going to release on a platform that's a competitor to Steam. And so Steam doesn't get exclusive access to Cyberpunk 2077. And a lot of people are saying that this is a trend that they're noticing, that games that Steam releases, the media that is in bed with Steam usually gives puff pieces to, but games that Steam does not have the ability to release or doesn't get exclusive rights to release, they're noticing that the media that's in bed with Steam is attacking these games. And it's starting to look like they're using allegations of racism and sexism as a way to attack their competition. Racist, sexist, bigot, those are all terms that are not being used to actually point fingers at people who are guilty of those things, but instead as ways to smear Steam's competition. And so it used to be back in the day that if you wanted to smear your competition, you would show how they had an inferior offer, how their product was not as good as yours, or how their service was not as good as yours. But now, instead of going after the merit of your competition, now you just start lodging accusations of racism or sexism. And we see this not only in the video game company. I mean, this is pretty much what a lot of people say what Gamergate was all about. But it's not just in video game media. This is also something that if you look at the majority of like liberal media, and I hate to use the word liberal media, especially as somebody who doesn't identify as a conservative. But I mean, if you're being honest with yourself, the media, at least most of it, has a very liberal bias. You see how liberals paint competing political ideas as racist, sexist, homophobic. If you don't agree with us, it's because you're a Nazi. If you don't agree with us, it's because you're a member of the patriarchy. If you don't agree with us and the way that we see the world, it's because you're an evil human being. And so if I can't compete with your political ideals, if I can't debate you and win on an even playing field, I'm going to resort to ad hominem attacks and the attacks that have the most power in social justice America are accusations of racism and sexism and homophobia. Now, this is nothing new. If you look at the pharmaceutical companies and the cotton companies and the lumber companies and the farm, I think I already said the pharmaceutical, the petro companies back in the day, when marijuana farmers offered a legitimate source of competition to all these different companies, DuPont and all the oil companies, they all got together and they all basically ran this huge propaganda campaign talking about how horrible marijuana was, how marijuana was making the Mexicans rape the white girls, and how marijuana was making the black men go out and rob people and do crazy things. And it was a huge propaganda campaign used to paint the marijuana farmers as the scourges of society. And it worked. It worked back then. And that's because these big giant companies had the media in their back pocket. Just like today, giant corporations owned the media and they used their infiltration of the media. They used the fact that they were the sponsors of the media. They used the fact that they held large percentages of the stocks in all these different media corporations. They used that to influence the minds of the customers, to poison their minds against their competition. And this is, in my opinion, the same thing that we're seeing happen nowadays with all the accusations of racism and sexism and whatever the case may be. And so, like I said, the anti-marijuana hysteria of the 30s and 40s, it was really just propaganda to help out the petro and the pharmaceutical companies and the paper companies. And that kind of brings me to today. Why we see all these businesses getting woke and going broke. We see woke re-envisionings of movies just completely losing money and bombing at the box office. We see woke TV shows just losing ratings and plummeting in ratings. We see, but we still see it happening over and over again. We see, especially in the media, but also in politics, we see people just, it seems like they're on a race to the bottom to see who can be the wokest and who can go broke the fastest. But is that really what it's about? See, this is the thing. When we see big giant companies like Disney getting woke with with Marvel Comics, I mean, Marvel Comics is a great example of getting woke and going broke. Marvel Comics has been race swapping out all the white characters for marginalized characters. They've been doing everything they can to try and force comic books on female readers who just aren't interested in comic books. They've done everything that they can to push away the audience that actually wants them in order to pander to an audience that doesn't want them. And they are losing money hand over fist. And you have to ask yourself, well, why? Why is it that these companies, after they see, when they watch all of these other companies going broke, trying to get woke, why is it still happening? Why are more and more of these businesses still willing to do it? Right now, Google is in a huge whistleblowing controversy where Project Veritas came out and released a bunch of kind of candid camera style interviews and interviews with whistleblowers and emails from whistleblowers within the company showing that they had a blatant political agenda in the way that they present information. Examples that have been going around is like, if you go to Google and you search white couple, you get just picture after picture of interracial couples. But if you search black couple, you get picture after picture of black couples. So for some reason, Google's perfectly happy to show you black couples, but it seems like they're afraid or they don't want to, or they have an agenda to not show you white couples. If you search the term American inventors, the majority of the first 50 inventors that show up in the image search are almost exclusively black, which, I mean, would make sense if America was a predominantly black country, but just statistically, it doesn't make sense that the minority of people in the country would make up the majority of inventors. But for some reason, Google has the idea that that's the way that they need to tilt the scales. One of the other things that they showed was, if you type in the term, Google has this thing where they do an autofill where it used to be, and this is how Google used to be. And this is the point that I want to kind of get to here. But, it used to be when you would start typing in something in the Google search bar, it would automatically populate the rest of your sentence with the most common finishings of that sentence that other people on Google were searching for. So if you started typing something in and it was something a lot of people searched for, Google would say, oh, I bet you that they're trying to figure this out. And it would be a useful tool because it would fill in and you wouldn't have to continue typing out the whole sentence. It would guess what you were trying to get at, which was pretty useful. But now they seem to not be doing that because when you type in women can, or girls can, and let Google auto-populate, it says a bunch of positive things like girls can do anything, women can vote, girls can do anything that men can do, women can run for office, all these empowering things, which is great, I'm glad. And I'm betting a lot of people that, you know, type in women, or women can, it's probably not women can make a sandwich and stay in the kitchen. That's probably not what people are searching for. So empowering things, all for it. But on the other hand, when you type in men can, Google auto-populates it with things like men can have periods too. Men can transition into women. Men can, and there's a blatant agenda. There's a all of the answers for women are women are awesome and they can do everything and girl power and positivity. And then when it comes to men can, all of the answers on men can are men can fit into the gay agenda, apparently. Men can fit into the transsexual agenda, as if the majority of men out there that are searching, when they search for men can, what they want to know about is men can have periods too. That doesn't make any sense, but that's what Google is populating stuff. So instead of providing what Google used to do was provide the best search results and the most relevant search results possible, now they're providing propaganda. Instead of providing what they think you're actually looking for, they're providing what they want you to find. And in business, this is a horrible way to run your business. When the market is asking for something, that's what you give them. When the searchers are asking for something, that's what you give them. If you're a business owner who thinks you know better than the market, if you're a business owner who thinks, oh, the market's too stupid to know what they want, so I'm going to force them to buy what I want to sell them rather than sell them what they're already trying to buy, that's a surefire method for how to get broke and go out of business real quick. But for some reason, Google doesn't care. Google's going to go ahead and push what they want you to see rather than what you're actually going there to see. And I think the reason why Disney, the reason why Google, the reason why these big corporations are doing this, I mean, ESPN is another example. ESPN's a Disney company as well. They went hardcore political for the last couple of years, and now they've had to come back. They've had to walk it back. The president of ESPN recently said, we're not going to put politics in our shows anymore, because people were going to ESPN because they wanted sports, not because they wanted politics shoved down their throat. And the ratings have been plummeting. The ratings have been dropping because ESPN, instead of selling people what they wanted to buy, they were trying to force people to buy what they wanted to sell, and it doesn't work. So if it doesn't work and it's the quickest way to go broke, why do these businesses, why do these companies like Google, why do these companies like Disney continue to go against the market desires and instead force what they want people to buy down the throats of their potential customers? The reason why is because at a particular point, it stops being about money. When you're a business as big as Disney and you've got billions of dollars to throw away, you don't worry about money so much. When you're a business as big as Google and you own half of the fucking world, you don't worry about money. And then at that point, it's about influence. It's about control. It's about power. And media, if you look at media nowadays, media is definitely more about influence disguised as information. It's stories that they make it look like it's information. They make it look like it's entertainment, but it's actually, a lot of it is about pushing political agendas. It's about pushing worldviews. It's about, I'm going to make it look like something that you want, but I'm going to slip my medicine in with the applesauce, because a lot of these people, that's how they actually view it. They think that by forcing their political ideals on the rest of us, they're helping us, because we're all idiots and we can't understand things and we're just the idiot plebs, and they're in a position of privilege and power, so they have to use that privilege and power to make us the idiots out there who vote the wrong way. They've got to make us better people. So they're going to use our entertainment. They're going to use our information. They're going to use the news. They're going to use the movies. They're going to use the comic books. They're going to use the sports shows to give us a little bit of what we're asking for, and then try and mix in the medicine to get rid of our wrong think. And that's what it's really about. It's about using what we're asking for, which is content, and mixing in what they want to sell us, which is their worldview. Now, like I said, Google used to be about relevance. Now it's about tilting the scales. It's about influence. It used to be about SEO, and now it's about skewed searches. And for me, and for people out there who have websites and blogs that rely on SEO, they do everything to make their websites as relevant as possible, to give those indicators to Google to say, hey, we're the most relevant person. When somebody searches for this, we're the most relevant. Send them to us. The fact that Google is saying, we don't care about that anymore. What we care about is, yeah, you might be the most relevant, but if you're not pushing our political agenda, we're going to devalue or derank your SEO. That's kind of scary because to business owners like me, I'm very anti a lot of the political agendas that Google has. I don't like censorship. I don't like identity politics. I don't like identity politics from the right, and I don't like identity politics from the left. Both of them are race-based. Both of them are based off of us versus them mentality. Both of them are based off of division, and I'm not about that shit. I'm not about looking at people based on their skin color. I'm not about looking at people as an other, and I can't identify with this person because they don't have the same skin color as me, or I can feel represented by this person because they have the same skin color as me. Like, and a perfect example of this, my first business was a record label. And me and my brother, we started up an underground hip-hop record label. And before we started our own label, the reason that we started our own label is because a lot of the other labels that wanted to sign us, everybody that wanted to sign us, they wanted us to be the white rappers on their record label. They were like, oh yeah, we can use you to appeal to the white audience. I didn't want to appeal to the white audience. I wanted to appeal to anybody who liked my music. I didn't want to be the white person that represented the record label, especially because I'm a mixed race person. My little brother is half Mexican. I'm Native American and Scottish, and I was raised up in a Mexican household. I don't identify as a white person, so I didn't want to be the token white guy on the record label. I found it insulting, and I didn't identify. I mean, I liked Eminem, but I didn't identify with Eminem because he was white, because I listened to tons of other rappers. I listened to Mash Out Posse. I listened to Psycho Realm. I listened to Dr. Dre. I listened to Redman. I liked all of these other artists and identified more with them than I did with Eminem because they lived the life that I felt like I was living. They talked about the things that I was going through. And Eminem was always talking about crazy shit like killing his mom and getting bullied in school and all kinds of weird, corny shit that I just didn't identify with. So just because he had the same skin color as me, I was not able to identify with him better than I was able to identify with rappers that had different skin color than me. So the whole identity politics thing to me, it makes me sick to my stomach. It makes me sick to my stomach when I see the white identitarians on the right. It makes me sick to my stomach when I see the identity politics, social justice warriors on the left. Both of them are just equally disgusting to me. So Google pushing for social justice just isn't appealing to me, and my content definitely has a hint of pushing back against that. So if my content is the most relevant, if an article that I write about how to do copywriting on a sales page is the most relevant, I don't want Google dinging me on SEO just because I don't fit their political narrative, which is what's happening now. Google should deliver the most relevant story to the person searching, and it shouldn't let politics come into play unless it's specifically looking for a political issue. But that's not the case. And so for content creators like me, watching Google do what it's doing is not something that makes me very happy. But here's what it really comes down to. Why is Google willing to, you know, risk losing all kinds of money, risk losing users, and deliberately go against what their own customers are looking for in order to push a worldview? It's because right now, Google, Disney, all of these bigger companies, they're more interested in selling ideas and a worldview rather than their product. And yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, I can understand it. I can understand if somebody says, hey, I'm in a position of privilege and power and I want to use my power to do the right thing. And if they actually think that that's the right thing, I can understand why they're doing it. But as somebody who's in the marketplace who wants a non-biased search engine, it's not what I want. But anyways, this has been a long rant. I've kind of gone down a couple of different rabbit holes. This is the major lesson that I want you to take home. This is advertising nowadays. What Google's doing, what Disney is doing, they're not so much advertising their products as they are advertising their worldview, advertising their ideas. And the news is the same thing. Most of the media, they're not so much trying to sell you the ability to be an informed decision maker in the world. What they're trying to sell you is their worldviews. And they do that by packaging that product, that worldview up as content. They make it look like it's news and information. They make it look like it's a movie and entertainment. They make it look like it's a comic book and entertainment. But what it really is a sales pitch for their ideas, for their worldview. So that's what advertising is like in this era. It used to be that you could advertise and an ad was an ad. And the problem with that is people became ad blind. People got to the point where they realized, oh, I can see that that's blatantly an ad. Oh, I can see that that's blatantly a political agenda. And so us marketers, we had to get smarter about it. We had to learn how to disguise our ads as content, as entertainment, as information. And so regular ads get ignored, just like Alex Jones yelling at people about his worldview with a megaphone on a street corner gets ignored. Just like the crazy person with the cardboard sign that says the world is going to end in 14 days gets ignored, because blatantly beating people over the head with your message turns people off. People immediately say that, oh, that's an advertisement. So if you want to do it, what Google and what Disney are doing is the proper way to do it. I don't agree with their message. I don't agree with the product or the idea that they're selling, but I do agree with the way that they're doing it, because the truth of the matter is that's what ads look like nowadays. Ads look like information. Ads look like entertainment. And the more you can make your advertising look like it's informing people, look like it's entertaining people, the more likely it is to actually influence those people. That's why I do this podcast and use it as a way to promote the Free Market Squad. By the way, if you enjoyed this content, make sure that you head on over to freemarketsquad.com. Check out the Free Market Squad and see if that is something that you would like to have in your life. Look and see if you're a right fit for our community. Anyways, that's been my rant for the day. I appreciate you spending the last 20 minutes or so with me. And I'm curious to what you think. If you've got an opinion, make sure that you leave it in the comments down below. If you're watching on YouTube, or head on over to NathanFraserShow.com and leave a comment in the comment sections for this episode. Or if you're listening on iTunes or wherever, maybe leave a comment in the comment section of the podcast there. And again, if you enjoyed this rant, check out Free Market Squad. It might be a good fit for you. My name is Nathan Fraser. I'm the High Priest of Propaganda. I am out of here. Faith in each other, not in authority. Holler at y'all later. Deuces. Yo, you want to get more sales from your website? A simple $4 investment can make that happen. Get my time-tested template formulated for sales pages, proven to turn more of your website visitors into paying customers. Discover how to write the perfect sales page, even if you're not a copywriter. Go to salespagebook.com and get your copy today. A higher converting sales page is only one click away. Go to salespagebook.com today.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.